Johnson. We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is hour number two of Govern America. It continues to be the 23rd of October, 2010. And I'm Darren Weeks. It's good to have you with us as we continue on here. In the last hour, I was talking about how the United States government funds international terrorism so that they could turn around and take away your freedoms by saying that we need to spy on everybody. Homegrown terrorism is the latest threat, they're saying, and which means that they can have the right, they think, Patriot Act and everything else, to spy on everything you do, to track you everywhere you go, and it's all in the name of keeping you safe, folks. In the meantime, our borders are wide open. We have an influx of migrant workers coming into this country unvetted, and we have criminal drug cartels coming into this country while our military is gone. Overseas, conveniently fighting and dying to achieve something called international peace, which is enforced at the barrel of a tank or a machine gun. Everywhere they go, they wage peace. You know, just like Orwell, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Thank you very much. But now we have the Turkish Prime Minister saying that U.S. is backing international terrorists, and he's right. But keep in mind, ladies, and he references the flood in Pakistan. Now, I want to make it clear. Right now, we have drones flying over Pakistan, killing people, innocent people. The government says they're terrorists. How do you know who's a terrorist and who's not a terrorist? Folks, they all look alike. Some of the people in the villages of these places are being recruited. You don't know who's working with the Taliban and who's not working with the Taliban. So, these drones are flying over, killing people. In the meantime, we have floods in Pakistan, and we have cloud seeding technology that's been going on at least a half a century. National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration website actually has information on it about how cloud seeding technology is done. The government of Utah actually has a cloud seeding. The Department, the Division of Water Resources in Utah has a cloud seeding place on their website where they talk about how cloud seeding is being done in Utah. Folks, if this stuff can be done here and it's being done in China, being done, and this is not new technology. You don't think that they can create a flood in Pakistan to weaken that country? I think that's what's going on here. Just more of the terrorism. I want to get into this and cover as much of this as we can when we come back from the break. Stay with us as time's going by very quickly. Bob Chapman coming up in the next hour. Don't go away.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention all business owners, save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences, it's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. And the website is governamerica.com. My email address is radio@governamerica.com. All right, let's continue on here. It just came out this past week on the 18th that we have the Drug Enforcement Agency having on its payroll a man named David Coleman Headley. He was a U.S. businessman. He confessed to being a terrorist scout in the 2008 Mumbai attacks. He was on the payroll, as I said, for the DEA while he was training terrorists in Pakistan, folks. This comes from the Age out of Australia. U.S. federal officials have acknowledged that David Coleman Headley, the U.S. businessman who confessed to being a terrorist scout, in other words, recruiting terrorists, in the 2008 Mumbai attacks, was working as a Drug Enforcement Administration informant while training with terrorists in Pakistan. Headley is the son of a Pakistani father and an American mother. He became an informant for the DEA in the late 1990s, after he was arrested on heroin charges. His American wife told investigators that he told her he started training with Lashkar in early 2002, as part of a secret mission for the U.S. government. You bet it's secret. A federal official said Headley's work as an informant appears to have lasted until sometime between 2003 and 2005. Another federal official said Headley was a DEA informant in the early 2000s. Quote, I couldn't say it until it continued until 2005, but it was definitely an informant post 9/11, the official said. Headley was well known both to Pakistani and American security officials long before his arrest as a terrorist. He went to an elite military high school in Pakistan, whose graduates went on to become high-ranking military officers and intelligence operatives. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, you need to remember, the United States government has had a long history of working with the Pakistan intelligence agency, the ISI. You can go to Google or any search engine and punch in Operation Cyclone. Wikipedia says Operation Cyclone was a code name for the United States Central Intelligence Agency program to arm, train, and finance the Afghan Mujahideen. Who are the Mujahideen? Well, today they're called the Taliban, folks, because they went to the schools there, the madrasas, which were built by the CIA during the Soviet war in Afghanistan, and that's where they became called Taliban, because the name Taliban means student. Okay? Now, they said the program leaned heavily towards supporting militant Islamic groups that were favored by neighboring Pakistan rather than other lesser ideological Afghan resistant groups, blah, blah, blah. But Operation Cyclone, and that was something that was started by Zbigniew Brzezinski, which was Carter's national security advisor at the time. Okay? And he said he wanted to give the Soviet Union their own Vietnam War. Now, you got to understand that in order to understand what's happening in the relevance of this story. This isn't just some heroin addict here that just happened to go rogue on the Drug Enforcement Agency and the federal government, folks. I don't believe that. Because based upon the history of the CIA working with the ISI in Pakistan, it's just amazing how all these things just fit right together. Now, think about this. If you're a member of the CIA, if you're going to try to do something to recruit terrorists or to create terrorist activity so you can create an argument to the people of the United States and the world that they need to surrender their liberty in order to have more intrusive means of security put into place on them, spying and all these naked body scanners at the airport, and God knows what else, fingerprinting, ultimately microchips under the skin, probably. I mean, these people will stop at nothing to control you. But you need to create terrorist activity, because after a while it says, you know, it'll fall on deaf ears. You warn people, oh, there's a boogeyman under the bed. There's a boogeyman in the closet. They're going to get you. We're fighting this war for a reason. People are going to say, yeah, whatever. And that's kind of what they've done since September 11th. Yeah, you know, I'm tired of the same old song. So then they have to create terrorism to convince you that, hey, they're right. They're right. And so all over the globe now, we have, especially in the Middle East, we have people recruiting these people. And if you're the CIA and your job is to recruit terrorists, doesn't it just make sense that you're going to use somebody that's already on the ground that already has the contacts? So this guy was in the Drug Enforcement Agency informer on the federal payroll while he's recruiting terrorists. I want you to think about that. ProPublica says it this way. Federal officials have acknowledged Saturday that David Coleman Headley, the U.S. businessman who confessed to being a terrorist scout in the 2008 Mumbai attacks, was working as a DEA informant while he was training with terrorists in Pakistan. Federal officials who spoke only on background because of the sensitivity of the Headley case also said they suspect the link between Headley and the Al-Qaeda figures whose activities have sparked recent terror threats against Europe. Now, keep in mind, we know from reading the British press, the attacks in Europe that the United States government has come out and said, hey, you know, you better not travel to Europe. Why, they're getting ready to blow the whole place up. The agencies in Europe, the British press is reporting and has reported, and we've talked about this in the past, about how, I mean, this is annoying them. They're agitated. They're annoyed because they're saying, this is all politics. This is pre-election of politics by the Obama administration and the Central Intelligence Agency, because none of this stuff is based upon any recent intelligence, any new intelligence. So in other words, it's all a bunch of hype, folks. Anyway, and Al-Qaeda, they talked about the link between Headley, this DEA informer, and Al-Qaeda figures. And Al-Qaeda, we know from the BBC, the power of nightmares. The neocons made up the Al-Qaeda network. They made it up. Okay. They say the revelations came after a report Friday by ProPublica and the Washington Post that the FBI had been warned about Headley's terrorist ties 3 years before the Mumbai attacks. Headley wasn't arrested until 11 months after the attack. Okay, skipping out here to the New York Times. Here we see U.S. had warnings on plotter of Mumbai attack. They say less than a year before terrorists killed at least 163 people in Mumbai, India, a young Moroccan woman went to American authorities in Pakistan to warn them that she believed her husband, David C. Headley, was plotting an attack. Now, this Drug Enforcement Agency employee, folks, David C. Headley, his wife, one of them, evidently he was married to three, went to the Central Intelligence Agency to report him. I take that back. Went to the authorities in Pakistan. It was not the first time American law enforcement authorities were warned about Headley, a longtime informer in Pakistan for the United States Drug Enforcement Administration, whose roots in Pakistan and the United States allowed him to move easily in both worlds. 2 years earlier, in 2005, an American woman who was also married to the 50-year-old Mr. Headley told federal investigators in New York that she believed he was a member of a militant group, Lashkar-e-Taiba, created and sponsored by Pakistan's powerful intelligence agency. Once again, through which the CIA is funneling its money to the Mujahideen back during the Soviet invasion, folks. Despite those warnings by two of his three wives, Mr. Headley roamed far and wide on Lashkar's behalf between 2002 and 2009, receiving training in small-caliber weapons and counter-surveillance, scouting targets for attacks, and building a network of connections that extended from Chicago to Pakistan's lawless northwestern frontier. Then, in 2008, it was his handiwork as chief reconnaissance scout that set the stage for Lashkar's strike against Mumbai, an assault intended to provoke a conflict between nuclear-armed adversaries, Pakistan and India. An examination of Mr. Headley's movements in the years before the bombing, based on interviews in Washington, Pakistan, India, and Morocco, shows that he had overlapping, even baffling contacts among seemingly disparate groups, Pakistani intelligence, terrorists, and American drug investigators. Those ties are rekindling concerns that the Mumbai bombings represent another communications breakdown. Once again, you know, let's hide behind, we're all a bunch of bumbling, fumbling idiots. We can't file our rear end with a map and a compass. You know, folks, just like the Katrina crisis, they always, well, it was just a communications breakdown. You know, great job, Brownie, as we're going door to door collecting the guns, as we're cutting communications, as we're instituting martial law in Katrina. You see, this is how they do things. They go ahead and do it and then say, hey, it's just incompetent. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what the right hand, there was no communication between the right hand and the left hand. Hogwash. This was an operation. Got to take the break. We'll continue this when we come back. Stay with us.
Attention all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
I'm spending a lot of time on this, ladies and gentlemen, because I want to make it clear the folly of sending your sons and daughters off to fight and die in these wars. You know, Americans have been brainwashed throughout our history that these wars that have been created are honest wars. And history, if you really find out, you go back and dig to what really happened, you find out these things are arranged. And many times, if not all the time, the United States government has had a history of funding both sides so that the conflict can be prolonged. And we have this going on today. And it's clear to see, you know, folks say, you know, well, the mainstream media is controlled and the mainstream media can't be trusted. And that's true. The mainstream media lies every single day. But if you know how to read the news, ladies and gentlemen, and if you're good at paying attention and you're able to take different articles in different places, you can connect the dots to what really is going on here. The media does tell the truth. You just have to know how to read it. The truth does leak out. And this is the New York Times I'm reading, by the way, one of the most controlled media publications on the globe. They're talking about how the Drug Enforcement Agency officer who was on the federal payroll, he was an informant for the DEA, being paid by the federal government while he was in Afghanistan scouting for terrorism. Now, the New York Times continues, those ties, the ties between this guy and the Pakistani intelligence agency, terrorists, and American drug investigators are rekindling concerns about the Mumbai bombings, and they represent another communications breakdown, they say, in the fight against terrorism, and are raising the questions of whether the United States officials were reluctant to dig deeper into Mr. Headley's movements because he had been an informant for the DEA. Now, I think that's a load of BS. I think they knew exactly what he was into. More significantly, they say they may indicate American wariness to pursue evidence that some officials in Pakistan, its major ally in the war against Al-Qaeda, once again, made-up terrorist network, folks, were involved in planning an attack that killed six Americans. The Pakistani government has insisted that its spy agency, the Inter-Services Intelligence Directorate, a close partner of the CIA, did not know of the attack. The United States says it has no evidence to counter this, though officials acknowledge that some current or retired ISI officers probably played some role. So the CIA is saying, American officials are saying, that the ISI, some retired officers, might have played a role in this, in the Mumbai attacks. Now, let's go to Britain again, because The Guardian reported this on October 18th. Pakistan intelligence services aided Mumbai terrorist attacks. Militant arrested last year described dozens of meetings between ISI officers and senior Lashkar-e-Taiba operatives. Pakistan's powerful intelligence services were heavily involved, The Guardian out of the UK reports. Mainstream news. Folks, I'm talking from mainstream, I'm sharing from mainstream news publications here. Okay? This is what their own controlled press internationally is admitting. Pakistan's powerful intel services were heavily involved in preparation for the Mumbai terrorist attacks of November 2008, according to classified Indian government documents obtained by The Guardian. A 109-page report into the interrogation of key suspect David Headley, a Pakistani-American militant arrested last year and detained in the U.S., makes detailed claims of ISI support for the bombings. Under questioning, Headley describes dozens of meetings between officers of the main Pakistani military intelligence services, the ISI, and senior militants from the Lashkar-e-Taiba, or LET, group, allegedly responsible for the Mumbai attacks. He claims a key motivation for the ISI in aiding the attacks was to bolster militant organizations with strong links to the Pakistani state and security establishment who were being marginalized by more extreme radical groups. Headley, who undertook surveillance of the targets in Mumbai for the operation, claims at least two of his missions were partly paid for by the ISI, and that he regularly reported to the spy agency. However, the documents suggest the supervision of the militants by the ISI was often chaotic, and that the most senior officers of the agency may have been unaware, at least, of the scale and ambition of the operation before it was launched. Here comes the spin, ladies and gentlemen. More than 160 people were killed by the militants of the from LET, this group, who arrived by sea to attack luxury hotels, a Jewish center, a cafe, a hospital, and the main railway stations in Mumbai, the Indian commercial capital. Casualties included citizens from 25 countries, including four Americans killed in, lots of people, lots of carnage, lots of devastation, lots of families without their loved ones. But the intel agent folks, the official intelligence agencies, are up to their eyeballs in this stuff. And this is all reported in the mainstream media. If only the people knew more widely what was really going on. All right, there's more to come. I mentioned earlier that we have the an imam dining with the Pentagon, who allegedly was attached to the 9/11 attacks just months after 9/11. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us as we continue.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
All right, we're back. All right, just this past week, a few days ago actually, Fox News came out with a report, an exclusive, which was picked up by international media, where they were talking of, they said they obtained documents, and they were obtained exclusively by Fox News. Now, I don't know if they reported this on their broadcast network or not. I don't have cable. I can't stand to watch the mainstream news channels because it makes me sick to my stomach to do so. Literally. I mean, I physically have a reaction, a physical reaction. I feel a tightening, a constriction of my stomach muscles because the propaganda that goes forward from these channels, the conditioning, the mind control through the electronic media, it literally makes me sick to my stomach. So I just turn it off. I don't even subscribe to the stuff. I don't really have the money to do that anyway. And I haven't missed it, because you get more information on the Internet when you can search out what you're looking for anyway. And with a lot of people paying attention to this stuff, it comes out really easily. I mean, it's not hard to come across the truth. And anyway, Fox News came out with an exclusive: Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. Now, last week I told you folks that I reported that the media was reporting that evidence, video surveillance evidence of the Fort Hood shooter, this Nidal Hassan, who's evidently on trial now for the shooting at Fort Hood. When that whole thing came out, I told you folks on this broadcast, this doesn't smell right. This doesn't look right. There were things there, and I don't remember all the details now. I'd have to go back and dig them up again. But I said, something just isn't right about this. And now it's come out that this Nidal Hassan has actually, while he's on trial, video surveillance evidence was ordered to be destroyed. Now, you think about, and I asked you last week when I told you folks this, why would the federal government destroy video evidence in a trial for a shooter on a military base connected with Middle Eastern terrorism, allegedly? Why would they order video evidence to be destroyed? Why would they order any evidence to be destroyed unless this is a government operation? Now, one of the things that the media has reported is the fact that Nidal Hassan had contacted an imam prior to his shooting rampage in the Middle East. If memory serves me correctly, too, by the way, they said that the intelligence agency had been tracking this guy prior to his shooting rampage. I believe that was something that was mentioned at the time that this whole shooting took place in the press reports that came out afterwards. But Fox News reported just a few days ago, Anwar al-Awlaki may be the first American on the CIA's kill or capture list, but he was also a lunch guest of military brass at the Pentagon within months of the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, Fox News has learned. Documents exclusively obtained by Fox News, including an FBI interview conducted after the Fort Hood shooting in November of 2009, state that al-Awlaki was taken to the Pentagon as part of the military's outreach to the Muslim community in the immediate aftermath of the attack. The incident, they say, was flagged by a current Defense Department employee who came forward and told investigators she helped arrange the meeting after she saw al-Awlaki speak at Alexandria, Virginia. The employee, quote, attended this talk, and while she arrived late, she recalls being impressed by this imam. He condemned al-Qaeda and the terrorist attacks. During his talk, he was harassed by members of the audience, and he suffered it well, reads one document. According to the documents obtained as part of an ongoing investigation by the Specials Unit Fox News Reporting, there was a push between the Defense Department to reach out to the Muslim community. At that period in time, the Secretary of the Army, redacted, was eager to have a presentation from a moderate Muslim. I guess the name of the Secretary of the Army was redacted. So they were eager to have a presentation from a moderate Muslim. In addition, al-Awlaki was considered to be an up-and-coming member of the Islamic community. After her vetting, al-Awlaki, and they got a different spelling here, forgive me, was invited to and attended a luncheon at the Pentagon in the Secretary of the Army's Office of Government Counsel. Awlaki, a Yemeni American who was born in Las Cruces, New Mexico, was interviewed at least four times by the FBI in the first week after the attacks. Okay? Now I want you to think about this. Here you have a Middle Eastern imam allegedly responsible for the attack. He's being interviewed in the weeks after the attacks of 9/11 by the FBI, and yet he's invited to the Pentagon for a luncheon and to speak as a member, as an outreach project of the government to the Muslim community. Does it get any more bizarre, folks? Does it get any more insane? Okay. They say he was interviewed four times by the FBI in the first week after the attacks because of his ties to the three hijackers, alleged hijackers. Were there really any hijackers, folks? Were there really any attack? Were there really any airplanes? He allegedly had ties to three hijackers, Nawaf al-Hazmi, Khalid al-Mindar, and Hani Hanjour. By the way, Many of these alleged 19 hijackers in that 19, 9-11, 9-1, 1-9, you know, the numbers, symbolic, it's got the Illuminati, the Masonic symbolism all over it. But anyway, many of these, the BBC has actually reported about some of these hijackers. They've come out in recent days, and days after 9-11, when the media was reporting these guys were responsible, allegedly crashed, allegedly died in the attack. These guys were coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm not dead. Why have they got my picture on TV? Why are they printing my picture and my name in the newspaper? I wasn't responsible. I'm still alive. I'm still here. Okay? That was the BBC, and I could dig that article back up again. I just saw it the other day. They still have that up on their BBC website. Mainstream news, folks. Anyway, they say the three hijackers were all allegedly, I add the word allegedly, on board Flight 77 that slammed into the Pentagon. Once again, all video evidence of any Pentagon crash of any aircraft has been confiscated by the feds, and they've never released any of it. Why? Why? They say Awlaki is now believed to be hiding in Yemen after he was linked to the alleged Fort Hood shooter, Major Nidal Malik Hassan, who emailed Awlaki prior to the attack. Sources told Fox News that Awlaki, who is a former Muslim chaplain at George Washington University, met with the Christmas Day bomber. You see how all the pieces just fit right together? The bomber, you know, the underwear bomber, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab in Yemen, and was the middleman between the young Nigerian and the bomb maker. Awlaki was also said to inspire would-be Times Square bomber Fazal Shahzad. Okay, so this guy, this imam, this Awlaki, he's at the center of all of these recent terrorism cases, folks. Every one of these things. And we know from talking to Umar, about the Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab Christmas Day bomber. We talked to the Haskells on this broadcast. We interviewed them. That interview, by the way, the entire thing is up on our YouTube channel. YouTube.com/govern America. You can go there and watch the whole thing where they tell you folks, and these people are attorneys and Taylor. They're not some kooks, some nutcases that came out of the woodwork. They have an established law firm there. And they didn't really want any connection with any conspiracy theories or anything like that, okay? Because they want to keep their law firm credible and reputable. But they were nearly killed by this attack. And they came out and they said, look, you know, the feds are interfering with the investigation every step of the way. Why don't they look into the evidence? Why don't they pull the videotapes from the airport? Why don't they either substantiate or debunk our story? Because they saw a well-dressed man at the airport trying to get this Abdulmutallab on the flight. And I said, why don't the feds ever look into this? Okay, that whole interview speaks for itself. But this imam is at the center of all of this. He's at the center of the New York attack. He's at the center of Nidal Hassan. He's at the center of the 9-11 attacks. And yet he's eating at the Pentagon in the days after 9-11. Do you see how ridiculous this is, folks? All right, apparently none of the FBI's information about Awlaki was shared with the Pentagon, they said. See? Once again, we're all a bunch of fumbling, bumbling idiots. We're going to hide behind the curtain of ignorance and idiocy. Former Armor Secretary Tommy White, who led the Army in 2001, and once again I'm reading from Fox News, folks, said he doesn't have any recollection of the luncheon or any contact with Awlaki. He says if this was a luncheon at the Office of Government Counsel, I would not necessarily be there, he said. The Pentagon has offered no explanation. Well, what are they going to say? What would they say? They offered no explanation of how a man now on the CIA kills or capture list, ended up at a special lunch for Muslim outreach. After repeated requests for comment on the vetting process beginning on October 13th, An Army spokesman insisted Wednesday that the lunch was not an Army event. Quote, the Army has found no evidence that the Army either sponsored or participated in the event described in this report, unquote, spokesman Thomas Collins said. Collins also noted that the FBI document referred to on the Office of Government Counsel should read Office of General Counsel. Collins said he believed the event was sponsored by the Office of the Secretary of Defense. A spokesman there said she would look into it and get back to Fox News. A former high-ranking FBI agent told Fox News that at the time Olaki went to lunch at the Pentagon, there was tremendous arrogance about the vetting process at the Pentagon. Quote, they vetted people politically and showed indifference towards security and intel advice of others, unquote, the former agent said. All right, but folks, spin it whatever way you want. They can spin this whatever way they want. The fact of the matter is, it isn't hard to document how their fingerprints are all over every piece of international terrorism today. Every single incident, almost exclusively, involves our government and those intelligence agencies around the world with whom they work. And I ask you why. Why would you be sending your sons and daughters off to fight and die in these international wars, purportedly for American principles and interests, when you have these people working in the shadows with the same terrorists that you're supposedly fighting to keep the American people safe? We got the FBI, New York Times reporting on the 18th. Four convicted attempting to blow up two synagogues. Four men were convicted on Monday on charges of planting what they believed were bombs outside synagogues in the Bronx and plotting to fire missiles at military planes. The case was widely seen as an important test of the entrapment defense. It turned on the role of a government informer. Does that sound familiar, folks? Who spent several months secretly recording conversations with the men that included plans for mass violence and anti-Semitic comments, along with their moments of hesitation and concerns about hurting women and children. A prosecutor said that the plot revealed the dangers of homegrown terrorism and that the informer, posing as a Pakistani terrorist, had presented the defendants with an opportunity to commit violence to which they were predisposed. But defense lawyers said that the FBI crossed the line into entrapment. They said that the informer, on behalf of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, now listen to this, folks. This is how they do it. They dangled money offers of money, and lured impoverished men with no ties to international terrorism into a plot that they could never have dreamt up on their own. So this is a case where the FBI approaches these people, says, hey, man, poor man, how'd you like to make some cash? I got a bomb here for you. I got some bomb materials here for you. How about if I give you this and you go and we'll work out the details of this. We'll provide you the transportation to get the stuff from point A to point B. We'll give you all this money if you just go and bomb this place. So this guy plants what he thinks are explosives. Evidently, they really weren't. But he plants these things, picks up the phone and calls whatever number they said would activate the device, and thinking he's going to get it blown up, it tips them off. They come and arrest him. And then the federal government turns around and issues a press release to the media and says, hey, guess what? We thwarted a terrorist attack. This is how it's done, folks. This is how it's done. Now, last week I mentioned, and I want to come back to it because I didn't spend enough time on it, because this pertains directly to everything we're talking about today. The publication Savannah Now in Georgia reported on September 19th, this is just last month, FBI releases foreign terror suspects with ski masks, wire cutters, and a machete. These people were around a power plant. The Georgia power plant Macintosh, and they give the address of the whole thing. I won't get into all that. But these people were caught by the sheriff there. And I've done a little digging on this, and Effingham County really does exist in Georgia. It's Effingham County. The sheriff deputies in Effingham County caught these guys around a power plant with ski masks, wire cutters, and a machete. I guess they had other things as well in the vehicle. A shovel, wire cutters, ski masks, and a machete. They caught them around a power plant, arrested them. The FBI comes in and interrogates these people, and then lets them go. The terrorism task force did that. This is our government, folks. Stay with us. We got a break. We'll be back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. In just a few minutes, we're going to be visiting with Bob Chetman of the International Forecaster, talk about financial terrorism today. In the meantime, we see from the New York Times, officer failed to warn CIA before attack. Now, back in December of last year, the CIA had a explosion at one of their bases in which a number of CIA officers were killed. And now it's come out that they were warned, once again, they were warned that this was going to happen. At least one officer, they say, once again, it's going to be chalked up to failure, folks. Dateline Washington, 3 weeks before a Jordanian double agent set off a bomb at a remote Central Intelligence Agency base in eastern Afghanistan, last December, a CIA officer in Jordan received warnings that the man might be working for, ta-da, Al-Qaeda, according to an investigation into the deadly attack. But the CIA officer did not tell his bosses of his suspicions brought to the Americans by a Jordanian intelligence officer. So once again, they were tipped off, and, oh, this officer dropped the ball. Now, given all the stuff we've talked about today, if the average American would read this, just this one article, they might think, hey, this was an intelligence failure. Somebody dropped the ball. But this pattern that we're seeing over and over and over again of people dropping the ball starts to get weaker and weaker in believability. When you see all of this just somehow works out. So anyway, they say it was brought to the Americans' attention by a Jordanian intelligence officer that the man might be planning to lure Americans into a trap, according to a recently completed investigation by the agency. Later that month, the Qaeda operative, a Jordanian doctor, detonated a suicide vest as he stood among a group of CIA officers at the base. These people don't have a problem sacrificing their own, folks. Make no mistake about it. CIA is highly compartmentalized, and one agency member group doesn't know what the other agency group is doing, and so forth and so on. Now we go back to Afghanistan again. From Press TV, the Iranian news service, the quote is, U.S. not after terrorists in Afghanistan. President Hamid Karzai, who by the way himself is a terrorist, we've installed him. The elections that put him in power, and I put the word elections in quote, were disputed. If you recall, the guy running against him finally gave up and quit because he saw how rigged the process is. But Hamid Karzai, his brother is on the CIA payroll, it was widely reported. His cousin is an Afghan drug runner. And he says the U.S. and Western allies are not serious enough in hunting down terrorists in the country. And we know from other media reports, he's having high-level meetings with the Taliban, folks. Are they going to have power-sharing agreements? This whole thing is just nonsense. It's ridiculous. All right, I got the break coming up. We're out of this hour. Next hour, we're going to be bringing up Bob Chetman in just a few minutes, the International Forecaster. We're going to talk about the mortgage mess. Maybe we'll get into the currency wars, unemployment figures, a lot more. There's a vast, vast world of things in a financial system that's happening. So stay with us. We'll be back.
It's true.